I'm Paul Lancour with PodTech.net, and today I'm here with Gabe Leung. He's Senior Manager at Bearing Point's Infrastructure Solution. Gabe, hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And today we're talking about server configuration, management, and provisioning, and we want to get down to the basics of how it works. So I wonder if you could start by giving us an overview of the reasons for server configuration, management, and provisioning.
Sure. Today's server environment is quite complex, and many companies have thousands of servers in different platforms and in the production environment, which are often located in geographically dispersed data centers. Management of the servers becomes a complex process of promoting the right files to the right server and maintain the configuration concurrency of all the servers. And errors in configuration changes is often the main reasons why servers go down. As the number of servers and different platforms grows, so does the complexity of server management. And in addition, most IT environments are in firefighting mode. This is often caused by the increasingly dynamic nature of the business environment. And adding to the problem is that many IT departments are asked to do more with less. The admin to server ratios, meaning that the administrator to server ratios, continue to decline. In other words, the number of administrators remain relatively constant, while the server count grows at a much faster rate. The administrators are asked to manage more and more server manually. Some use scripting to automate some of the maintenance tasks. The problem is that scripting is, if the process change, all the servers using the same script must be changed. And also, most companies do not have an inventory of their maintenance scripts. And it is very much rely on the administrators who knows where the script is and how they are deployed. And very often, these boils down to one or two people. And this creates an enormous risk for the company. And also, by the way, the risk is not, this kind of risk is not always reflected in internal or external risk assessment. Naturally, the need for a better way to manage the server creates a demand for products that can streamline the server administration. And a server's life cycle starts from provisioning. And let me first clarify the term provisioning to orient ourselves while we discuss server provisioning. When a server is procured and delivered, the first has to be installed, set up, and configured for the first time. A server is set up based on the intended purpose of the server and the standard image for that platform and or usage purpose, and such as OS versions, patch levels, and other add-on packages, security patches, and other software. And also security-wise, a lot of the time the server OS has to be hardened also. This first step of the server lifecycle is called server provisioning here, and as opposed to dynamic provisioning, which means adding additional capacity based on the demand at any given time and releasing that added capacity when the demand dissipated. The topic of on-demand capacity management or dynamic provisioning is a different discussion. Here, we are focusing on the provisioning of a new server, which often takes hours, sometimes a few like days, of manual work or at least partially automated, usually toward the tail end of the provisioning process. That's where the automation occurs. Even then, many servers are provisioned incorrectly or incomplete. The cost of provisioning tests, troubleshooting and reworking is very high. And in addition, the time to market is often much longer in terms of days.
So, Gabe, given that overview, how should companies approach server configuration and provisioning management?
To start with, there are two parts in server configuration management. and provisioning management. Number one is standardization. Companies should standardize their hardware platforms and base configuration. The hardware standard and base configuration go hand in hand. By standardizing the server hardware to a smaller number, reduce the number of base configurations, and therefore reducing the overall number of standard image needed. One of the ways is to develop different classes of server purpose. For example, we can group the server purposes into three classes. One for mission-critical applications, such as customer-facing applications. One for non-critical but important applications, such as back-office applications. And the third one could be an other application that that doesn't get used all the time, such as applications that run monthly or quarterly. Once the classes are defined and standard images are deployed and developed, provisioning of the server become much simpler. Number two is server upgrade process control. And by this, I don't mean the traditional change control process, which should be there. The server upgrade process control is how the server change configuration changes should be applied after initial provisioning. The best way to control is to control direct access to the server itself. All changes should be applied through a dispatch mechanism. And the mechanism should be a policy-based and has an inventory where the server will need the new patch. This can be in the form of configuration management database, or often referred to as CMDB. There are a number of tools in the market that provide a secure and controlled environment where server patches can and other updates are dispatched to the server without having the administrator log on to the server directly. These tools will dispatch the packages based on the CMDB and the defined policies so that the distribution is complete and with audit trail and error-free.
So I'm assuming also that there are risks involved with server automation. What would those be exactly?
Well, yeah, there's a number of risks, and the risk is not the server automation itself, and the tool will do what we tell it to do. And the risk is the proper management of the policies and the effectiveness of change control process. If a package is not tested properly, the dispatch of such package will cause number of problems. This is not because of the server automation is wrong. It's just because the patch is incorrectly dispatched or the package is not properly tested. And having said that, I do have to clarify that not all tools are created equal. Some tools are much more mature in terms of their completeness and of functionality. Selecting the right tool is critical to a successful server automation environment.
So what are the key functionalities that companies should be looking for here?
There are, in general, three components that a proper server configuration management should have. One is the CMDB, which should maintain a complete inventory of the server's configuration standards and with enough details into the server configuration files. Two is release management, where packages should be applied to server based on a defined policies. And three, the compliance audit, which checks the server's configuration compliance. Each of these components help ensure the server is properly configured, the release of updates and other packages are completed correctly and completely. In other words, all the server needed the package have been a release of that package, and check for any potential issues. Different tools on the market implement these three components differently. Some tools may have all three components, and some may not have all three components. And I believe all three must be there in order to be able to effectively manage the complexity and fast-changing environment. This can also increase the server to administrator ratio without unduly increasing the workload of the administrator. The end result is better managed environment, time to market is quicker, fewer server misconfiguration issues, and lower the operating costs.
So other than server configuration automation tools, is there anything else that companies should do to help improve their server management?
Yes, and the phrase we all know well about managing IT environment is process, technology, and people. And the server automation is the technology. The people will need to be reoriented for the new environment. They must think of the process in terms of a chain of delivery that starts from provisioning based on standards to maintenance based on policies. This chain is tightly coupled with the defined processes. The processes must be normalized based on the standard environment as defined within their classes. This sounds like a mouthful, but using an example I mentioned before, the processes for managing the mission-critical application environment must be well-defined and articulated so that the policies can be developed for the tools to execute. Server automation for configuration and provisioning management will become an integral part of the entire IT infrastructure, and this is because companies are also moving into virtualization and dynamic provisioning environment due to a variety of reasons, one of which is the cost control and consolidating controls of, consolidating management of the servers.
Well, Gabe, thank you very much for taking some time out giving us that overview of server configuration management and provisioning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Gabe Leung is Senior Manager, Bearing Point Infrastructure Solutions.